Love that song. It's amazing. So this morning we have the privilege and opportunity to celebrate the birth of our Savior. That is why we're here. Now, one thing we see all around us is what? Christmas lights. We see them in our homes, neighborhoods. Obviously, we have them lit up this morning here in our church. And our goal ultimately is to shed more light on that light. You follow? Okay. You can laugh. It is Christmas. Okay. Yeah, hey, perfect. I love it. All right. That was very condescending, by the way, but I'll go with that. So to highlight how the metaphor of light has been used to reveal the Son of God to us from the beginning, that is what we're doing this morning, is to highlight that. Of course, we literally see the brilliance of billions of stars lighting up space. See that? We got our own space galaxy up above us here. Now, we read about light in the beginning. It's part of the creation narrative. We know that light was good. We read about it. We see light used up to and during the time of the life of Jesus. And we see it used to point us to the glory of eternity. Each of your speakers this morning will walk you through, and in different ways, how light is used to express really the incomprehensibility of the love of God, which really, ultimately, is intended to point us to the light of the world, a lowly babe in a manger. So to begin, light was among the first to be created. Light is what shows us the way in dark places. Light measures time, and of course, as we will celebrate this morning, light points us to a person. Light shows the glory of the heavens and the stars and the galaxies. Really, it's remarkable when you look into the immensity of space. It's so big. It's measured in light years. But keep in mind, this is not simply just a measurement of time, but of distance. Essentially, it is calculating how many miles light can travel in 1 year, which is amazingly 5.9 trillion miles. Wrap your head around that. Our own galaxy, the Milky Way, is 100,000 light years wide. Our solar system sits about halfway between the outer edge of the Milky Way in its center. Amazingly, they say it takes approximately 230 million years for our solar system to rotate once around the Milky Way. They believe our galaxy contains up to 100 to 400 billion stars. Now that's a lot of light. Now, are you impressed yet? Don't be. The next closest galaxy to our own, the Andromeda Galaxy, is some 220,000 light years wide. And then another galaxy, they name it IC 1101, spans as much as 4 million light years. Is it not astounding to learn of the vastness and beauty of our universe? The lights of the stars are incomprehensible. They have captivated our minds and imagination for millennia. Now, is it any wonder heaven and the glory of God are depicted by the metaphor of light? Psalm 139, 7 through 12 tells us, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." Now, James captures it beautifully in chapter 1, verse 17, when he says, a no truer statement. "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And even King David in Psalm 19:1 pointedly proclaims, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." In the last book of the Bible, Revelation, in chapter 21, verse 23, we discover our heavenly home will be infused with the glory of God and the light of the Lamb. And of course, we can't ignore the beginning of light. In Genesis 1, 3, and 4, we read, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that light was good, and he separated light from darkness." After reading and watching all that we have observed, do these words not cause in you great wonder and awe? The author of light simply spoke, and all that we see was formed. This was the light in the beginning, and it was meant to point us to the greatest gift, a person, Jesus Christ, which we're going to start off now with. Skyler's going to come.
Just as the song said, "From great heights of glory, you saw my story. God, you entered in and became one of us." It says in John 1:14, as we read, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." God left heaven and came down to earth in the form of a baby who would grow to become a man, who would go on to minister and to tell others, of course, about himself, but about the truth that would set people free from their captivity of sin, and that would give them a chance, if they choose to accept, to spend eternity with him, with God, in heaven. Yes, we see God enter in the form of Jesus Christ, who came through the Virgin Mary, to be with us. He left the glories of heaven for us. And when I think about the glories of heaven, I try to imagine to think about what it must have been like. You know, we read about it, and we've probably thought about it many times, the streets of gold and the place of no suffering and everyone in perfect health. God left that to come down to earth to be with us. And when I think about that, it's amazing. It's truly amazing to think of that sacrifice. The word, the name given to Jesus, one of the many names given to Jesus, was Emmanuel. And what that means is God with us. In Isaiah 7:14, it says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a son. The virgin will give to a son who will call him Emmanuel." What's amazing about this right here in Isaiah 7:14, this is a prophecy given to the prophet Isaiah, which came approximately 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And we see so many amazing prophecies in the Bible, and this is one of them. And it helps us know that this is true. This literally came 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Before the time when God entered in, became flesh, so that he could be here with us again to give us an opportunity at salvation, an opportunity at eternity with him in heaven someday for those who choose to accept him. And what did this look like? What did this sacrifice look like? Well, of course, we just talked about Jesus leaving heaven and coming to be with us, but he went through many things. He was tempted, as it says in the book of Luke. The devil led him took him into the wilderness, and there he tempted him, and he tried to get him to do all these things, tried to get him to worship him, but Jesus stayed firm and stayed strong, and even quoted scripture to fight against the attacks of the enemy. And what we notice is Jesus was human just like we are. He faced all the temptations, he faced all the bad stuff that can come at us in life. But he stayed strong, and he never once sinned. He turned to the Father. He turned to quoting scripture, and it's how he stayed strong enough to endure that of which life brought at him and which the enemy attacked him with as well. And so we see Jesus make this sacrifice to come down and to be with us. And I think about the great humility and love demonstrated by him in taking on human form and making this sacrifice. And I want to read Philippians 2, 6 through 8, and it says this. I love how the Apostle Paul writes it. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used in his own advantage, which I think is incredible. You're in heaven. You have everything you could ever want. But that's not enough. He still wanted to come down to build that bridge for us. But let's continue. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Which, of course, the celebration of Easter, his resurrection from the cross, where he paid that price for us and he died for our sins so that, again, we could have a chance, should we accept, to be with him in eternity. That's how the Apostle Paul writes it in Philippians. And I want you to imagine a time where you made a sacrifice, where you gave something up that was important to you, that was valuable to you. Think of that moment right now, or think of what that was, what that item was, or maybe it was a sacrifice of time. But imagine a time where you made a sacrifice or gave something up for something else. I'm someone who's been on many missions trips. I've traveled all over the world. I've been blessed by God to be able to do that. And on these missions trips, I have seen, I have witnessed people on the team literally give the shoes off their feet, the shirt off their back to people in need. And when I think of that, I'm reminded of this sacrifice that the Lord made to come from heaven to earth to literally say, you guys are so important that I'm going to make this sacrifice. When our people on the missions team said, looked at those who had nothing and said, you guys are so important, and Christ loves you, and I want to do this for you, that here are the shoes off my feet, here's the shirt off my back. It's truly something incredible and something I've been able to witness with my own eyes. People giving away personal possessions to those who needed it more. And what is the purpose? The purpose of God becoming one of us. Of course, we needed the Savior. We needed someone to come and to take our sin. We needed someone to come and to be that bridge from where we were to where God was. And of course, we know that John 14, 6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Of course, this was spoken by Jesus Christ during his ministry. But the question is, on a more deeper level, why? Why did he do this? Because it's more than just, oh, well, we needed a Savior. It's really at the root of it, it's this. 1 John 4:9 says it like this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. So why did he do it? There's so many answers, many ways to answer this, but at its core, it's love. That God loved us so much that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to come into the world to pay that sacrifice, to be amongst us in the flesh, to enter into not just the earth, but to enter into humanity, to become one of us, to be tempted, to be put to the test, but ultimately to prevail, to overcome all that was put against him, all that was meant to bring him down. He overcame all of that for us, but out of love for us. Love being the root cause of why he did it. And Romans 5:8 says something beautiful as well. Yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't about if we were worthy enough. It wasn't about how much we had, if we were wealthy enough, or if we were smart enough. While we were still sinners, Christ came and he paid that sacrifice. Christ died for us. And so as Pastor Matt begins to come and to speak on the light of the world, I will close with this. From the great heights of glory, you saw my story. God, you entered in and became one of us.
So all that information, okay, light of the world. Anyone read your horoscopes? I don't believe in it, but sometimes, you know, someone I know, I won't name any names, will read my horoscope to me just to see if it matches up. So if someone says, hi there, I'm an Aries, what does that do for you? Anything? Absolutely nothing. So we can talk about this light of the world. Maybe it's just information. Maybe it's historical. What's it do for us? That's what I want to know. So listen to this. Has anyone ever bought tires? You have cars, vehicles, they need tires. Think of a story like this. You go out and you price tires. The last time I priced tires, guess how much it was going to cost to put tires on my truck? Brand new tires from the tire shop. $1,600. That's a lot of money. But what if you know somebody that has connections? You bump into someone, you're like, man, I need tires. You're like, you know what? My dad owns this tire shop. I'll get you the tires that cost. You simply have to, you know, pay the cost, and then just to have them mounted, I can get you brand new tires on your truck for $800. Is that not a great deal? And how would you get that deal? Is that deal handed out to anybody? No, you knew somebody. Well, guess who Jesus knew? Jesus knew God. And he comes down. I mean, picture this. I mean, like Chad was saying, the stars of the universe, so vast, we don't comprehend everything that, I don't think we comprehend this much of what, of how awesome God is and this plan that he had for us and that Jesus actually was with him from the beginning of time. And then the sky said, to bring your son down to watch him sacrifice out of pure love, do you have any idea what you mean? So we know somebody, this light, who knows somebody, God, who has a plan for us. And so light of the world, first of all, we have to comprehend Jesus is it. He isn't just light of America or light of, you know, black people, white people. He is light of the world. So if we comprehend that, that has a lot to do with us. So the scriptures I want to walk you through, extremely interesting. Listen to this. This is in 1 John. So John, the disciple of Jesus, disciple who Jesus loved, he was almost like a best friend. He was just a faithful companion. He writes, My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He himself is a sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the world. So, first of all, we have to understand this. Without Jesus, we have no way to God. God, he loves us, he created us, he created all the world, but sin entered in through Adam and Eve, and that sin was born into each and every one of us. So raise your hand if you think you could have lived life without sin. Some people say, well, that's not fair. Adam and Eve screw up and I have to pay for it. Well, we probably would have been the Adam and Eve if we'd have been tempted in that way. But sin entered that world, and that connection between us and God was gone. So we needed an advocate. So Jesus had to come. That's why he was born of a virgin, because it had to be miraculous. Our Messiah would come in a way that would prove Old Testament prophecy. And so all of that happened. So Jesus comes, but also, like we said earlier, he had to live a life free from sin, because if he would have sinned, we're back in the same boat. And basically, our demise, it was not going to be a good ending, because we had no way to heaven through God. So through the life of Jesus Christ, we had the opportunity and have the opportunity to accept Jesus and make that decision on our own. That makes him the light of the world. That means he has something to offer each and every one of us. So he is our advocate. He, through his death and his sacrifice, was the atonement for our sins. But listen to this. It takes this turn. We're same chapter, a few verses down. Dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it's an old one. Leviticus 19. That's the Old Testament. That's when this commandment first was laid out into the Word. The old commandment to love one another is the same message that you heard before, yet it's also new. Okay. Why did it need to be made new? Anybody? I'm going to tell you. It also is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining. So to love one another, yes, it was a new commandment, but now we have seen an act of love that had never been seen before and never needs to be seen again. And in this vast, all the acts of love that are out there and kindness, Jesus gave his very life for you, for me. He laid it down. He went through things that he shouldn't have had. They were not fair to him. He was called a liar. He was beaten. He was set up. He constantly had people trying to back him into the corner and prove him wrong. Satan put every force he had on Jesus, but Jesus walked the truth for us out of a compassionate love for us. And so it goes beyond what Jesus did. Now, this verse is beginning to say, now you have something to do. God is saying, I need you to love one another. I need you not just to receive. Anyone ever receive a great gift, say, hey, thanks, and you just go on your way, or some of you feel like, yeah, I need to give something back because I've just received something. Jesus is saying, here is this gift of eternal life. But now if we realize, if Jesus is the light of the world, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus was raised from the dead, and we believe in our heart, and now that we have that light, now we have something to give. Now listen to this. What happens when you realize that, hey, I have something to give here? Why do we have it? It was given to us by faith in Jesus Christ. So we have to stay in Jesus in order to continue to give that faith out. Listen to this. Remain in me. Jesus is speaking in John 15. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am. So Jesus is saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. So we go from understanding that Jesus is the light of the world to what happens when you go outside and the cloud moves and the sun is just in blue sky. Anybody? The sun reflects on us. So Jesus, if we remain in him, and that is, that's an act. You can't just say, okay, I'll remain in you. I mean, what's that look like? To remain in Jesus is to be in the Word, to understand his commandments, to follow him, to take your life decisions and pattern them after the Word. Not just so you can get this glorious heaven, but because we have been sent to spread this good news. This light is now reflecting on us. We have the chance to reflect this light on others. And that only happens if we remain in the Word and live according to that, because now people begin to see, hey, what is it about you that you just love beyond others? Where did just patience come from? I talk a lot about the fruit of the Spirit. And God says in Galatians, there is a fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy. Think of these words now. Love. Do you love to be loved? Joy, do you like to have joy? Peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. Those are amazing things. Those things come when you remain in God. Our spirit is filled and those things come out of us. It's supernatural. It's beyond our control of just, hey, I can just be a kind, good person. The world's going to get to me. I'm going to seek revenge. I'm going to have some bitterness and some hatred because I wasn't treated right. Or I'm going to, whether it's cheat or lie or be adulterous, I'm going to fall to desires. But when I remain in this, that's not going to happen because my life is controlled by the obedience of my faith in Jesus Christ. And so this is so important to be fruitful, is to remain in me and I in them, and I will produce fruit. But apart from me, you can't do that. So like I said earlier, you can read horoscopes and say, that does nothing for me. Thousands of religions are out there, man-made religions, that do nothing because they are not powered by the creator of our universe. But Jesus says, if you remain in me, and this is what happens when we do that. So now we talked about Jesus is the light of the world, but now if you remain in him, this is what happens. You are the light of the world. Because you've allowed through the Word, through living it out, you've allowed now that light to penetrate in you, in your heart and your soul and your actions and your morality, and now you're living that light out. So now the world is seeing Jesus through you. There's no greater accomplishment you could ever want in your life. Who has a job? You want to be the best in the world at your job? You don't? Okay. Pretend like you want to be the best in the world at your job. What does that do for people if you're the best in the world at your job? I'm bivocational. My other job, I do fabrication, I do mechanics. If I am the best mechanic, what does that do for somebody, for your life? It might help fix something. Maybe it gets your mower running someday. But I'm telling you, if you are the best in the world at spreading the light, you are taking news that can change people's lives, that can change their eternities. And that all happens through us remaining in Jesus, allowing that to shine through us. Now, you are the light of the world. Like a city on the hilltop cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, the lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, this is for us. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Now, if we think about this real quick, who has deeds that you want to shine out? Sometimes you got deeds. There's times where we can do things that will bring us attention, but listen to what it says. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see then, comma, so that everyone will praise your Father. It's not about us. There again, if we go back to what I just said in your job and you're the best, and people say, man, I need so-and-so to come out this fix this machine because he's the best. That does nothing for anyone. But man, when you can love and forgive and show grace, and then people are like, what's in you that these things seem so natural? And you say, it's this right here. It is by taking my life and just placing it in the Word and learning from that the light of the world is now reflecting in me and back out. That's what each and every one of you have the opportunity to do when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart and you live in your own human. We all make mistakes. We're going to sin. We're going to screw up. That's why Jesus died for us. There is forgiveness in that. But think about what it is that you can or you will offer through the power of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you what I want to do. I don't know everyone that's out here. And even if I did, I don't know what's going on in your heart. I just want to ask you this question. Is there anybody right now that says, you know what, whether I've been there before, whether I've asked Jesus into my heart, right now I am not in this Word. I am not, that light is probably not reflecting in me, but I'm hearing you and I desire for that to happen. If you're saying right now, I just want God in my heart. I just want to pray that prayer. And I like the eyes open because, believe it or not, we're a family. And so if you're saying, that's me, that's what I want, would you just raise your hand? And I just want us to pray together. Say, I want that light in my life. You're just saying, I want to ask Jesus Christ into my heart. I want to live a life that gives out. I want to live a life that reflects. Is there anyone in here that would say, yes, that's what I want? If not, and you all have, praise God for that. But if this is a situation where, hey, I'm just simply not comfortable, talk to God. You don't have to be in a room. You don't have to be around the pastor. Talk to him. Begin to get into his Word. Get around someone who can guide you, because I'm telling you, you have purpose. You are worth it. God loves you, despite what the world may tell us at times, despite what you might tell yourself. You have purpose. God loves you enough. He sent his Son to die for you. Desires that you just simply live for him. May we reflect God's light. Okay, praise God. Grab your candle. Light. So what I want us to do, just lift this baby up. This is just saying, and I pray that we all mean it, Lord God, I want to lift my light to you. I want to live by faith in your Word. I believe that you are the Son of God, but believing it isn't simply enough. I want to live it. So may we, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our homes, on our blocks, in the public, may we be that light. May we be the love. May we be the forgiveness and the grace. May we be the one sacrificing, not to lift us up, just to show people the love of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray right now, your will be done in our lives. May this be a season where we not only enjoy family and friends and gifts, but we really focus on the truth. Jesus, you were born in order that you would be the light of the world because we needed a Savior. Lord God, you were faithful to send your Son. Jesus, you were faithful to live on this earth despite all the things that Satan tried against you. You endured it. And because of that, we have an eternity. So God, may we live out bright. May we remain in your word. May we stay connected to the vine. May we shine for you. Despite what may come our way, it may not always be popular. People may convince others that it's not even love, it's hatred. There's all these different things that Satan's trying through our world. But we know the truth. So God, may we shine bright for you, making a difference for you, and bringing so much more purpose to our life. Whether we reach one, hundreds, or thousands, dear God, we want to walk faithfully in your word. So we thank you, Lord God, for sending your Son. Jesus, thank you for sacrificing your life for us and giving us purpose to shine. We pray all this in your name. Everyone says, amen. God bless you. We hope you have a Merry Christmas. You can blow your candles out, leave them on the table. You are dismissed.